With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Nick, Throw Shade Thursday today, 10:30. We want you to come on in and throw some, make some shade at whomever. Whomever needs it. Nick is probably going to throw it at Jack, Joe Buck, and Fox. So get it ready. Whoever you think.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So Justin has been waiting. He wants to talk on the show. Yeah. He's been waiting for a little while. Let's get him in here. Hey, Justin.
Hey, fellas. How's it going this morning?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing good.
Oh, nothing much. I got a question, I guess. Lance, have you heard of it? I'm sure it's... I've seen it pop up on my Facebook this morning while I was scrolling through. I'm sure it's just a grab clicks, I'm sure, for their website. I don't even know if the website's reputable. It's, the name of the website's called You Lucky SOB. But they have an article. The headline says, Aaron Rodgers starting at quarterback for the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. It's not as crazy as it sounds at first. And I haven't read the article. I haven't had time to read it. It's not a real long article, but I'm at work. I don't have time to read it right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that... I don't like either. I don't really care for either one of them, to be honest with you. But when I seen that this morning, it kind of grabbed my attention. I'm sure it's just what they wanted.
Yeah, so that was a rumor that got thrown out. This is what makes me... This is what's so terrible about our country right now. You can literally write a new media, somebody with a non-reputable site, just some kid, just anybody, just any old Gary could write something on his website. And if anyone picks up on it and they want it to be true, you start to get it circulated and circulated and circulated. Or it's one of those articles like, well, here are eight things that could happen that aren't as crazy as they sound. And all they are is just people throwing things against the wall, not because they're saying they're hearing this. They're just saying, hey, here's some moves that could be made right now. And so the Aaron Rodgers and Patriots one was out there. And then, some different websites like pick up on – I'll give you an example. The NBC Sports Boston site, they wrote an article that said, why adding Aaron Rodgers in 2021 makes sense for the Patriots. They're not saying it's going to happen. They're not saying there's any rumors. They're throwing a hypothetical out there, just like we might write an article on Sports Map that says something like that. But then it gets picked up. People start throwing it out there. And before you know it, it turns into, oh, this is a rumor that this is going to be out there. It's not going to happen this year. Now, could it happen? Yeah, I guess it could happen if New England is super excited next year about giving up some of their draft capital for a quarterback who's over the age of 35, I suppose it could happen. But I don't know if that's a direction they want to go in.
Yeah. I mean, Josh did it last week with the Jadeveon Clowney story we did. We did a video talking about Jadeveon Clowney, and he clickbaited everybody with a headline about Jadeveon Clowney coming back to the Texans.
Got him.
Could it happen? answer is no.
And we were like, no, happen. It can't happen. No. Listen, that's clickbait, dude. Aaron Rodgers ain't going to the Patriots. Now,
it's a hypothetical conversation, but would it make some sense? In theory, it would make sense, except for the fact that New England just got done with one lifetime quarterback. I'm not sure they want to get into the business of a quarterback who is on the back end of his career and then give up I don't know. What would the going rate be for Green Bay? Have you ever seen Bill Belichick give stupid – when's the last time you saw a deal where you thought, holy crap, why in the world did he make that, where he traded away that many draft picks for a player? I'll give you an example. It happened never, ever in history.
Well, why did Bill O'Brien learn about culture, but he didn't learn about trades when he was there? Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to get back. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. So it looks like, okay, it looks like the SEC says, dude, we're playing. I don't know about you, but there's too much money here. I don't care if students are here. They ain't here. I don't care if, you know, I don't care if there's fans in the stands. SEC football's going on. Pac-12, we ain't playing, okay? California shut down. And ain't going to be no students, and if there ain't no students, and Mark Emmert has come out and said, if there's no students, then there's no, we're not playing football. Well, slow down, Mark Emmert, because you ain't speaking for everybody. And, oh, by the way, it ain't going to be if everybody can't play, I don't care. Some of us are playing, and we'll figure it out. And Mark Emmert is smartly now staying, well, we're not sure what's going to happen, as opposed to, oh, no, If somebody doesn't play, then nobody. Nope. Mark Emmert, that ain't gonna be how it works, because there is a real scenario here where the SEC plays, the Big 12 plays, probably the Big Ten plays,
Big Ten plays, yeah,
yeah, and the Pac-12 watches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a real scenario. Now, thinking about this. Arizona's opened up for sports. If they don't open up the schools, what about all of the Pac-12 teams going down to Arizona? Plenty of dorms.
You can't play unless you're a student. There is a tie. If you're a student athlete, your school has to be open for you to play. I don't know how.
Your school is open online. I mean,
okay.
Your school, then that's good.
Then that's good enough. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good enough. The school will be open. All schools are going to be open online. Here's another question that's out there. How much are you paying for online school?
I don't know. Why do you bring that up? I wouldn't want to.
No, honestly. And there's a lot of people that are balking at, oh, no. You ain't charging me the same tuition for my kids staying at home and going online as you are charging me for him to go to attend the classes? I mean, thank God I'm out of this business now. You got this you don't have it this year to look forward to. But all of these schools right now that are not going to be open and are going to be online, and you're paying for them, what you paying for?
Mm-hmm. You go to University of Phoenix or whatever.
Right.
If you're going to do online schooling, Colorado State has an online program. Yeah, exactly. A whole lot less, I can tell you that. So, yeah, I think there may be a big pivot where one of these universities or some of them figure out, you know what? Let's just really make our online process badass. Let's just really be the best at this, and let's just try to hog in as many people as we can and say, look, we're going to make it more affordable, we're going to make it a great college experience relative to learning, obviously nothing else. Maybe you have shots in your classroom. Maybe you Zoom shots with your professor. Do you know when I was at Tulane, there was a creative writing class or something like that when I was a sophomore, and the professor, the very first day, she was a female professor, and she said, she's like, listen, I'm just going to tell y'all now, I'm kind of the cool professor. Okay. And she was like in her, I would put her in probably her mid-30s. So there was some, you could sense some tension, and she was not unattractive. She was married. She goes, my husband and I have a great time, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he's also a professor, but he travels a lot. So, you know, I'm just going to let y'all know, if you reach out to me and you give me a call, here's my phone number. You know, we can just go talk about class and hang out and get a drink. And I'm thinking, this feels different. Second class, this is the first class she is telling us how cool she is. The second class, we go down to the Boot, which is right there on campus, a bar. And we had our class in the Boot ordering pitchers of beer, and drinking and having class.
Well, that's a college experience worth paying for. And
yes.
Tulane ain't cheap. So no, if you can go to the bar with your professor and have your class at a bar, okay.
But you know, I got to go to Tulane for free because my dad was a coach. Now, we paid for room and board, which was not cheap. So we got, because my parents didn't make enough money to send me to Tulane. So I'm there, but he was coaching there, so I got in free. I didn't take it. I didn't really appreciate, and we got 4 credit hours for every class instead of 3. And one of the things for your fees at Tulane, if anyone's listening who's lived there, I mean, who went to school there, they could vouch for this. Like, we paid our fees, you know, for room and board, and one of the fees that you paid went to, like, parties in your dorm. I lived in Monroe and on the 10th floor, and once a month they would have Popeye's chicken and a keg. We're 18, 19 years old. We were 18 when we came into school. They would have Popeye's chicken and a keg brought to your floor, and you would have parties. I think it was for 2 floors at a time, you and another floor. And it was co-ed dorm. The guys were on one side, the girls were on the other side. And I was like, that's what I thought college was supposed to, you know. And I'd move from the Houston at Richmond Rosenberg to New Orleans. But when I'd come back to see my friends and I'd tell them, oh, yeah, we had beer and Popeye's chicken on Sunday. And, yeah, we went and had a class at a bar on campus. They're like, God dang it, we're still having to try to figure out how to do fake IDs. Like, yeah, I 18, we're getting into places at 18 legally. Not a problem. Now, the roads and everything are a filthy, dirty mess. And New Orleans takes no federal money. And so, you know, it's basically a hellhole, but I'm drinking at 18.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My son is going to school in Boston, and they've already declared they will be having class in August. Honestly, it kind of concerns me with the proximity to New York and Massachusetts has a high COVID infection rate. I would imagine. I would imagine that would be scary, but I'm no expert
have
on
classes
that.
Outside.
I'm certainly not going to speak on it. But
have classes outside.
Best of luck. Yeah, go
like
outside.
If the weather's good.
Yeah. Go outside and have classes. And
when I read that about outdoor restaurants, I thought, man, if you were in a place where the weather was nice, that would be really awesome. Like that would be a great idea.
Right. All right. We got more on this college. We'll get back to this college football discussion on the other side. There's also baseball discussion we haven't gotten to. That we're going to have to.
Is it good or bad?
It's an interesting one. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Boy, you were right, Lance. My wife just opened the door here. It is humid out. What?
That's the most humid day I've seen in 2020 so
that.
Far.
It's great. You know why your skin is, you say young? Because of humidity, Lance. Okay, go to Arizona if you want to look like an old man. Thanks, bye.
Too late.
So we were talking about college football. Looks like Pac-12 that's a real possibility that Pac-12 does not play football this year. Or maybe a limited number of schools. And listen, if 6 or 7 schools say we're playing, that'll be the Pac-12 season. That'll be, you know what?
Good luck, Walker Little.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see.
Will they allow any emergency transfers so that football players who want to play and get into the NFL?
Well, it's on the board right now that you can transfer. It's on the board, and we'll see if it's going to be because it's been adopted, and they're going to vote on whether or not immediate transfers are going to be.
You got
to
let people do it.
Walker Little is a good case. He's got 1 year left to graduate from Stanford. Or do you want to play football so that you can go to the NFL? Do you want to get your Stanford degree?
If he raises his value, he's coming off an injury. So if he raises his value by playing, he can go back and do his last year at Stanford. I mean, he's going to be making enough money to go pay for Stanford. That's not going to be a problem.
Yes.
If you're not going to have the experience.
It's all an if. David is on the line, and he wants to talk about playing college football this year. What do you say, David?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
So I got a relative in the family that plays Power Five out west, and I ask him the question, you know, with California saying no football if no students, and the coaches have told them it's an easy fix apparently for these schools that they're just going to have some limited classes online, or not online, on campus, and that'll qualify as the students being back, and they're going to play football.
Hmm. Well. Listen, I mean, I think
so I don't know, everywhere, I don't know
everywhere
that,
is different. In that. L.A. is shut down until the end of July. Everywhere is different. So L.A. County has said, we ain't doing nothing. And if you can't, if you're a stay-at-home on order, and what is UCLA? Unless they go somewhere else and train, USC and UCLA, you know, starting in August 1st, and that's just going to be the startup. And whether or not they're going to have phases to get back is another story.
They will.
I think everywhere is going to be different, David. So we'll see. And who knows? Up at Stanford, they may say, yeah, we're playing. In L.A., they may say we're not.
L.A. is trying, I believe, to not only flatten the curve, they're trying to eliminate as much as possible of COVID by doing the stay-in as long as possible to hope that, you know, any pockets die off. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes with them, to see if there's cataclysmic damage done to the economy that they can't come back from. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not an easy decision. I know what they're trying to do, but when you do that, there is going to be an ancillary effect on certain sectors, and sports will definitely be one. There's no way around it. You can try to practice on your own. You can try to stay in shape on your own. That's fine. But as you mentioned, John, there's just no shortcut in sports. There's no shortcut for getting into a certain type of shape for your sport and then getting where you're game ready. You just don't have a shortcut. You can't shortcut that process. So you can maybe shortcut it a little by a week, but you cannot have mass wholesale shortcutting of the process. So it's going to, we'll see what happens with that. Now, baseball, I am assuming that every professional, LeBron and the Lakers, are going to be playing. The Clippers are going to be playing. You are going to have the Angels and Dodgers playing. So I don't, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Here's pro sports playing.
Well, quite possibly they'll be playing, but not in LA.
Correct.
Right. Greg says, we didn't get the payoff to the story. How many guys tagged the professor by the end of the semester?
So, I don't know. I didn't hear anything like that. The professor was, because by the midpoint, I ended up leaving and moving back to Texas. But I can just tell you this. Every time the teacher let us know, I just felt like that was really up for grabs, because every chance the teacher got, my husband's out of town. Like, it wasn't unusual for her to say, my husband's out of town. If you guys want to meet up for beers, let me know. And I'm just thinking, this just can't. Once again, I don't know, she might have been 32 years old. In the 30s, I think, she couldn't have been very old. She wasn't very old. She definitely wasn't in her 40s. And she would tell us, when a husband's out of town, if y'all want to get together, like, notice you're not having us have drinks when the husband is in town. That's strange. I never went and did it, personally. But she would let us know when it was time to go have drinks together as a class, and I'm thinking, wow, this is, you mean outside of class? Yeah, here's my number. Y'all let me know. So I thought, well, this isn't going to go good.
Well, I think, come on, there must have been some kind of payoff to that story. Now, the other story that was big yesterday was that Major League Baseball owners and Players Association met. And they did not discuss money. They discussed testing. They discussed how they're going to, you know, how we're going to get back, number of games, all of these things that are going to be are being discussed. They did not discuss money. Originally, back in March, they came to an agreement that players' salaries would be prorated. If they played half a season, they would get half their paycheck. And the players agreed to this, and the owners agreed to this. Now, they're going to come to terms on all of the other stuff, and the owners at the end of this are going to say, well, we didn't think about no fans in the stands. And the players are going to say, we don't give a rat's ass I am fully on the record in saying that I believe that they should share in these losses equally. Why should the owners bear the whole brunt of the losses? However, in this instance, the owners came to an agreement with the players on how they would get paid, and now the owners want to go back. And the owners want to change it because they didn't think of something. Well, guess what? Tough tis nitties. Here's the deal. If you didn't think of it, your lawyers didn't think that there might, when all of us, how long have we been saying that there might not be fans? You guys, when you're negotiating with major, over billions of dollars, and you guys didn't think that there might not be fans in the stands? It's squarely on you. You made a dumb deal, but you made a deal. So now you got to live with it. Why should the players bail them out?
I tend to agree with you, John, but is there an argument to be made for the owners in that this is like unprecedented times and there was like a whole bunch of moving parts during the pandemic and they really couldn't consider everything? And maybe when you consider fans and no TV revenue, maybe the players should play ball a little bit more.
Well, there is TV revenue because there will be TV. And but there won't be fan. But Nick, that was all on the table. That was all well known before they negotiated.
John, what his point is, everything was so fluid. You say well known, nothing was well known. We're still finding out things to this day about the coronavirus and about this, that, and the other.
There was always the possibility of no fans.
Yes, there was a possibility, but the president himself was also saying, listen, when the heat comes out, you're going to see this thing magically go away.
Well, but Lance,
and this was argued. No. I'm kind of devil's advocate here. I'm with you. Once you made this negotiation inside the pandemic, but I do see what Nick's point is about. Hey guys, common sense here. We had a lot of moving parts. We were hoping to get. Remember, we pushed everything back to May at one point.
So why didn't you say that then when you were negotiating? Why didn't you say that? Listen. What about, whoa, we'll give you guys prorated, but not if there's no fans. Now all of a sudden there's going to be way less revenue, guys. We're going to lose 40% of our revenue if there's no fans in the stands. Well, okay, then we got to change this deal. Now, if it's full stadiums, if it's, television contract, if we play enough games to validate and get our television contract in full, then we're going to be fine. Then, all is going to be good. But these are smart people. These are lawyers. These are negotiators. These are billions of dollars at stake, and they just forgot that there would be no fans? That's on them.
Yeah,
the players don't have to bail their asses out.
It's true. You would think when they – I mean, there is going to be TV revenue, but I imagine not as much as it would have been. And then obviously the fans' absence is going to hurt them, and you mentioned the 40%. So you would think that they would consider that, but I just feel like – some of the millionaires that some of the players that have big contracts could play a little ball and just say, look, we did agree to this. I don't see any of these players doing that, and to be honest, I probably wouldn't do it either. Like, if you agree to prorating paying me 82 games, then that's the deal I'm sticking
that's
to.
That's a deal.
Yeah.
That's the deal. I mean, this is business. People make bad, stupid deals all the time.
They won't have a legal standing.
He had to pay up with two. He had to pay up a second rounder and get David Johnson.
People
make stupid deals all the time, and they have to pay up.
The reality is, from a legal standpoint, they're going to have to abide by the contract. And that's why the players are sticking so strong with this. Here's the big concern, though, in sports: if players, there is a potential to kill the golden goose. If you go too far, and you make it to where it's untenable for owners to even have a team, because no one's going to want to buy a professional team right now. Nobody's looking. This is one of the worst. They're going to want top dollar. This is not a seller's market in professional sports. If you bust out owners who are paying, who also have business interests, the reason they bought a team in many cases is because they were successful in other businesses and had this money. Most of those businesses, ask Tillman, are going to be going way sideways, and not just in the short term, but the long term. If you if you don't play ball in some way, shape, or form with the guys who make the league run, and make no mistake about it, the players make the league. They are the cogs of the clock that keep it going. But you don't even have a clock assembled if you don't have the big money owners. If the big money owners don't have their money to actually pay players, you could be looking at, if this really gets bad, you will see contraction. You will see teams who Major League Baseball has to try to take over, but they're not going to have money to. It's not like Major League Baseball has this $10 billion war chest that they can pay teams. So at some point, there could be a pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered situation. It won't be in just 1 year, but, John, it could be.
This is 1 year, though. This is 1 year. You know what? You guys screwed up. It's a half a year. It's basically a half a year that you screwed up. But you screwed up. Live with it. If you screw up and do something wrong, you got to live with it. Dumbass owners, you agree to prorated salaries. Live with it. Time for me to talk right now about, Absolute Marble and Granite. If your place is a mess, you don't have to live with it. You got Jeff Aronoff. Jeff Aronoff will come. I'm looking at a beautiful countertop. Just like really marble and granite and tile and brick and all of these things just make everything look so much better, so much richer. And it's just so important that it looks good. And especially at your business or at your home, do you want people to come over and look at this countertop? Wow, that's really, really – or if it's old and it's got to be replaced, what new flooring, what new countertops, what new vanities, what new bathroom sinks, what they will do for a house, what a new outdoor patio will do for your house, what a new outdoor kitchen will do for your house. And all of those things go for business as well. You ain't reselling your house. You ain't getting the value for it. And you ain't getting, people to come back to your business if it's shungat. What you need is Jeff Aronoff. And Jeff Aronoff is here for you, and he will design it so you don't need an architect. What you got is Jeff Aronoff, and he'll do it all at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. Tell him you heard it here on ESPN 97.5 and you want your 20% off. 713-880-2822. That's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I was just reading about Costco stock. There was just an article that talked about Costco stock because I was thinking about like these big grocery stores. They're busier. So yesterday I went to go check on our friend Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats about, Johnny's. He had the medical thing that he has to get taken care of, and I wanted to see if he did it. And they put him off now until July. Which, if they would have done it when they were scheduled to do it, the hospitals weren't full. Like it was fine. They should have done it then. So it kind of ticks me off. But everyone was on high alert. But it really would have been great to do it then. But now he's put off until July. But I was talking to him. I said, "Well, how's business?" He goes, "Every day is like as busy as Christmas. Every day, Christmas is super busy for a butcher. Pete's Fine Meats is longtime butcher shop," and he said, "Every day is just packed." And I said, "Well, what's production like?" Because, we've heard a lot about the pork stuff. He goes, "Oh, Lance," he goes, "I've got plenty of pork chops. I've got plenty of this." He's selling as much as he has like ever in his history right now, which is not a huge surprise because meat has been, you can only get a certain amount. Like at Costco, if you go in, you can only get three at a time, right? Of any proteins that they have, you can only get three at a time per customer. Well, over at Pete's, for example, he does ground beef. He does the steaks, obviously, pork chops, bacon, all the pork stuff, chicken. And he said his providers, I thought he would be really impacted. And he's not. For example, he sells a ton and gets a ton. Tons of steak, tons of chicken, tons of, I don't know about tons of chicken, but he has chicken like he always does. does. But I thought pork was going to dry up and go away. He goes, Lance, we have no end in sight right now to pork. I have not been told one single thing. I sell so much pork chops and bacon and ribs and all that stuff. So he's got everything over there.
That's the pork is the new Popeye's chicken sandwich. Oh, you can't get it. It's so, oh my God. You won't be able to get it. You better hurry up and buy it. You better wait in line. You better buy it and put it in your freezer. Otherwise, you're not going to oh, wait. It's all there.
Go to Pete's Fine Meats. He's got pork. You want some pork chops? You want some ribs? They got
pork. Was feeling like, hey, wait a minute. Because when this first started, there was no hamburger meat, right? Remember, you couldn't get it first? Couldn't get any hamburger meat. The only thing, there was chicken. First, Tyson came out and said, oh, we got to kill 2 million chickens because we can't kill any chickens. What? Wait a minute. You're killing them. Wait a minute. So there's going to be a chicken? Oh, my God. Pork said, wait a minute. We got to get in on some of this. There's not going to be any pork. Hurry up, everybody.
So Michael never shut down during the pandemic, Lance?
So Michael, you know Michael, right?
Yeah,
you go over there.
I go there all the time.
So
the burgers are awesome.
So he didn't shut down. Now when the health, whatever it is, health inspector, she made him at one point, because of the way his place is configured, she said, I don't think people can properly social distance in here, so we're not going to let people come in. Well, people were outside. They were doing curbside pickup for all their meat. So they'd order steak, burgers, because they make burgers and stuff inside. You probably go in a lot for like I'll go in for lunches and things like that. But they still have breakfast sausages. Yeah, they never shut down. I said, well, it had to slow way down whenever you couldn't have people come in. He goes, Lance, people were ordering the same way because they can't get there. He goes, I had people ordering like 40 steaks and 20 packages of ground beef, and he said just massive amounts to put in their freezer, and he's got it all. So he didn't have a problem with it. But now I went in yesterday, and you can go in. It's just regular. But I looked in his case because I was really interested. I didn't want to make a big deal, but I was interested. And he's got just tons of steaks, ribs, chicken, everything. It doesn't look any different. And I said, so you haven't been hurt by on the supply side? He goes, no, not at all. He goes, people come in all the time and order pork chops, ribs, bacon, the same thing that they would order any other time. He goes, I'm not having any problems. And he said, I sell more now than I sell every day is like a Christmas. He said it's slowed down a little bit recently, but people go into – because butcher shops is where you can get more than three items. If you go into a Costco, they're very strict with their three items. And I get it. You have all those people. Butcher shop, like Pete's Fine Meats – You need 20 pounds of ground beef and you want 30 steaks and you want that, no problem. We'll have the order ready for you. It's like they don't have the same restrictions. So yeah, and their lunches are, you can still go order your burgers and stuff like that over there too.
That's what I normally do, like the bison burger or
the
chopped
bison
beef
burgers
sandwich.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully Michael's doing well. That's great stuff.
He said he's feeling good, but he is going to have to wait until July for his surgery. So I'm like, they don't consider that an essential surgery? He goes, well, they said I'll be okay, I guess. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So he's a great, great dude. I just want to make sure he's going to be okay. By the way, you know what I'm going to do tonight? My wife set this up with our friends Tori and Nikki. Prince, so YouTube is live streaming a Prince concert from 1985. They're only streaming it for 3 days. And it's some big concert he did in 1985. It would have been a Purple Rain concert based on the timing. And they're live streaming it for 3 days. So we're going to go over to their house, have some dinner, and watch the Prince concert. And I guess you two, I don't know a lot about it. You guys will have to Google it because my wife found out about this. But you know what else she did, John? She watched... And I think she actually paid, because it's on a group called Stage It. It's a website where different musicians will play individual shows. Well, they'll play shows for groups. You know, you buy a quote-unquote ticket for $1 to $5. And she watched Rhett Miller from the old 97s. I just hear this music, and I see him sitting on a couch playing a guitar. I'm like, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? And it's some concert series that they do live. And there's lots of, I think Wilco is getting ready to do one as well. Hey, these musicians have to try to make money also, so they're starting to do live shows online.
So you caught the lead, you caught Nicole and the lead singer from the old 98s online together?
Old 97s, and old 90s. It's a group. It's not a Zoom. Like, they can't
it
see
was
you.
Just the two of them, but you thought it was like no. a concert or something?
No, it is a concert. Stage It is the band.
Is the
company. Yeah, it is. I don't care. Hey, it's a pandemic. Go for it. Do whatever you want on Zoom. I don't care. When I'm trying to watch Succession. Are you guys done? I'm trying to watch Succession. Okay, stay out there until I'm going to lock the door so you can't get in while I watch season two. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? Because Succession is my this is my addiction right now. This show is so good. It's so well acted.
It is. Succession is great.
Really well acted. And by the way, I saw her hoe-like tendencies popping up in season two. Like, man, John wasn't lying. What's her name? Shiv is just a hoe.
Yeah.
Ho-ass Shiv.
Okay, you guys, I don't know if you've seen it. Who holds the record for most F-bombs in movie history?
In a movie? In a single movie?
No, in their career.
Pesci, Joe Pesci, maybe, or
nope.
Man, I just don't think he's done enough movies. Is it De Niro?
It is not.
Yeah, I don't think he says a whole lot. Pacino.
You won't get this one. You will not.
Who
get
is
this
it?
One? Apparently, it is Jonah Hill.
Man, there's Jonah a ton Hill. Of F bombs in Superbad. Yeah. I just rewatched that, and I couldn't believe how many F bombs there were.
And Hill The Wolf of Wall Street, he dropped a bunch. 376 F-bombs. Second right now is DiCaprio at 361.
Yep.
And Samuel L. Jackson, they both passed Samuel L. Jackson, who's at 301.
That's just because he hasn't been as active.
No, right.
Well, that movie, The Wolf on Wall Street alone, I mean, there's probably 7 million F-bombs in that one movie.
Yeah, you're talking about a lot of F-bombs right there for DiCaprio. And he's in most of the scenes. Now, he's done some other movies where you're not going to have a lot of F-bombs, but that's one where they're flying. I may rewatch that one, too.
So
let the kids watch it. Hey, kids, it's a pandemic. You guys want to watch Wolf of Wall Street?
So apparently ranked just behind Jackson is Adam Sandler, who rose in the ranks thanks to his performance in last year's Uncut Gems, which the report tallied as the second most profane movie.
Ever. It was the most. Ever?
Yeah.
Second most F-bombs ever?
Ever in Uncut Gems. I didn't know that.
I guess I'm just used to hearing it now where it doesn't even faze me. What's the most profane?
Oh, it's Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's the most. Wolf of Wall Street is the most. And Jonah and DiCaprio picked up a bunch there. Uncut Gems is second most. Other actors who made the list include Denzel Washington, Billy Bob Thornton, Seth Rogen, Bradley Cooper, and Danny McBride. Bradley Cooper? Wow. I wouldn't think Bradley
Danny
Cooper.
McBride, not a huge surprise.
No.
I'm a little Danny shocked about Bradley Cooper, too, though.
You what?
I'm a little surprised about Bradley Cooper. He's not necessarily known to drop a bunch of F-bombs.
No.
What about Ryan Reynolds as who's the comic book hero?
Deadpool?
Deadpool, yeah. What about Deadpool? Deadpool's not afraid to fly, let him fly.
Mm-mm, no. Yeah.
Oh, no, and Brody's wife is in that, too. From Homeland, you don't know that. What? I don't know her name.
Oh, she is fine.
Oh, jeez.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Brody's wife, that's one where I've had to actually pause the show and get on the iPad like, who is this? Oh, 100%. Because I've paused the show for her before. Like, all right, I got to see what this is about.
Her name is Marina something.
Yeah. Yep.
I can't pronounce her last name, but she is hot.
I've done it for the wife, for Don Cheadle's ex-wife in House of Lies. I've had to pause that one, too. Like, okay, I got to find out more about this.
846 ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello. To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John, your girl?
What?
Well, your girl. I was just reading an article about your girl. This happened a couple of years ago, I guess. But Maureen, her name is from Homeland and also from Deadpool. Her name is somebody on the text line sent me her name. You mentioned it, Marina Bacarin, Brazilian. She's ordered to pay estranged husband Austin Chick nearly $23,000 a month. So I'm like, huh? Why is she paying 23 G's a month? Now this was written in 2015, but here is the story: a judge ordered Marina Bacarin to pay her estranged husband, film director Austin Chick, nearly $23,000 a month in child and spousal support. I'm like, child support? Somebody did something bad. Said the Homeland alum, 36 at that time, filed for divorce from Chick, 44, in June after 4 years of marriage. They are parents of a 2-year-old son, Julius. Bacarin will hand over $2,693 for child support and $20,249 a month for spousal support. The exes have been in a heated battle since it was revealed that Bacarin is expecting a child with her Gotham co-star Ben McKenzie. As previously reported, Chick alleged that he and Bacarin were still in a relationship when she got together with the OC alum, who is 37. In addition, Chick has reportedly changed his mind about co-parenting. So she was paying, I don't know if that's still going on, but she was paying 23 G's a month because she tried to step out and got pregnant. Oh, boy, girl.
Apparently she didn't try to step out.
Yeah, apparently
I didn't say you could trust her. I didn't say that, you know, she was going to be faithful, but she likes to do stuff.
Okay.
And oh, by the way, that's not my girl, by the way. My girl is Wendy. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
all I did was say Brody's wife. That's all I said.
I got somebody for y'all to Google right now. And for everybody who's at work or listening on podcasts, because I know you guys like the podcast. I've been told by so many people, I just want you to know I listen every day, just not in a 7 o'clock hour anymore because I don't go into work. I'm like, that's fine. I got you. You listen on your time. That's fine if you need to do that. Go ahead and Google Dawn Olivieri. She was on House of Lies with Don Cheadle. It was a Showtime show. She was foul-mouthed, and she was a bad girl. She was naughty, naughty, naughty.
Hmm.
And go ahead and Google her, House of Lies, Dawn Olivieri, and you're welcome.
I don't care about stuff like that. Although Holly did just send us, thanks, guys. She sent a picture of Marina in what looks like a dominatrix type outfit with the giant tattoo on her chest. And Holly was like, yeah, thanks, guys. Holly enjoyed it, too.
That's a curious picture she sent us.
That's
a curious picture she sent us.
Yes. Anyway, is Ruth catching up with F-bombs? I think so.
Yeah, somebody reminded me that Bradley Cooper was in The Hangover. That's where a lot of the F-bombs
was in what?
That makes sense. In Hangover. He was in Hangover.
Oh, in Hangover, yeah. Yeah. She's a little skinny, this one, as you said, Olivier.
Yeah, skinny. she's a little skinny, but she's not too skinny. No? If you're not really getting the full.
I, that's just, this but, is gross. That's two guys sitting here. Hey, check
three
out
guys.
This girl. Hey, check out this girl.
This is gross.
Creepy radio.
Nice try, John.
Creeper radio.
This is just, what are you talking about? This is pandemic radio.
Oh, that is kind of.
There are no rules. I might have a drink right here next to me.
Well, how about this? Let me see what you think about this. Dakota Johnson says that maybe the greatest actor of our generation is Shia LaBeouf. Now, have you seen Honey Boy? Peanut Butter Falcon?
No, I haven't seen that, but I also want to see Honey Boy, where he plays his own dad.
I saw Peanut Butter Falcon. It's actually pretty good, and he actually did a really good job, and the movie's pretty good.
He went from douchebag to actually being considered a really, like, he's kind of cleaned up. He was a huge douchebag, and then he's kind of, I think he's gotten himself together. He's kind of funny, and I've heard really good things about Peanut Butter Falcon. I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, where do you see him in this role? He's actually a lot different than... What was he was in the Transformers or something?
That's when I first heard about him. But there's a couple of other movies I felt like he didn't get credit for after that. I just can't remember them off the top of my head. I don't think he's like, was this D-bag days from like the Transformer days, or was it like,
yeah, Transformers and just before that, because he kind of disappeared for a while.
Yeah,
his Project Greenlight stuff that he was on when he was younger. He was in his. And he even talked about being a huge douchebag when he was younger. And he's really changed now. And Honey Boy's another one. Like I said, he plays his dad. And I want to see that one because that one's very critically acclaimed. And I guess he does some directing now, too.
He does. Yeah. Well, and he was in Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. Why was he in Money Never Sleeps? You know, Wall Street. Why? You know, I was like, what? But he did a good. If you haven't seen Peanut Butter Falcon, you need to see it. It's actually a really good movie. It's actually good.
What is this supposed to mean?
Dakota Johnson is sneaky in that.
Yes. What is this supposed to mean? Lance is turning into Dell as creepy Google Wikipedia woman guy will know certain women's movies and names right off the top of his head. First of all, Dell is unprecedented. Like, Dell is unmatched.
Yes.
Dell has no peers in that regard. I'm frankly, not only am I astonished, I am extremely impressed by Dell's knowledge of names that I have no idea who these people are. I'm just telling you two specifically, Homeland and Don Olivieri from House of Lies, where I like paused it and went, what is going on here? Google. So what? My wife's watching concerts of Rhett Miller. I don't care. Anyway, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just giving props where props are due.
That's all.
Okay. Well, I'm not allowed to say that Saquon Barkley is a good running back because I've got Duke the Johnson and Johnson backfield here. I can't say that. I'm not allowed to say, boy, Pat Mahomes. Look at Pat Mahomes, man. This guy is really good. I need to get Pat Mahomes on my fantasy team. You're not supposed to. You've got Deshaun Watson. So what? I'm not in a monogamous relationship with Deshaun Watson. Okay, I'm not.
Not in fantasy. I am, but you're not.
I'm not. I'll step out on Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry. I know that you don't have your top wide receiver now. Mm-hmm. You got a concussion guy, and you got a guy that no one else really wanted to give that money to. So I'm just trying. Hey, Deshaun, I wish you luck, but I'm kind of looking around at different quarterbacks right now. I'm trying to find a value guy. I'm not pay for the top. In auction league, I'm not pay top dollar for best quarterback guy.
I am.
That's not me.
I am. But, okay.
You going to have Joe Burrow in fantasy this year?
Who paid $25 for Deshaun Watson?
You fool, 2 years ago.
Yep, that's right. And guess what? I got every penny's worth.
Did you?
$8.58, time for you to get every penny's worth on Craig DeSerf.
I can't believe somebody compared me to Dell in this regard. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You should say that Dell's the Lance.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. I only know two or three. Dell knows everyone.
Yeah.
Hey, time for me to tell you about Craig DeSerf, and it's not time for me to tell you. I get to tell you. I was just in at their location on Monday, and no. It wasn't Monday. It was Tuesday. I dropped off my vehicle, got hit by an uninsured driver last Friday, and went about my insurance process very, very quickly, got it out to the collision center out there. The intake, I mean, it was in and out. And I know that there's one of the things that I think separates them from everyone else is the work that they do is highly efficient in the service center, whether it's service work or whether it's collision work. Out in Angleton, they do an amazing job, and they will work with any and all different insurance companies to get it out there. But whether you need to have a tow out there or whether you can drive it like I could, they work with you to get you the loaners or to make sure that you get your car, you know, your rental cars, whatever the case may be. And they will do your work efficiently. They do it effectively. And they don't make you wait forever for your vehicles. And that's just one of the things I wanted to throw in there. Yes, they do collision work. And yes, they do service work. Now, the 0% financing, this is going to go away at some point. And the vehicles are going to start to shrink as we don't have manufacturing and production. So if you're looking at getting trucks, if you're looking at getting SUVs or crossovers, you might want to look right now while you have 0% financing for up to 84 months and deferred payments for 120 days for well-qualified buyers. Gulf Coast, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. Go online and look at their entire inventory at LanceZCars.com.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere.